Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio.
Start your show now, press 1. To hear important instructions, press 2.
Since it appears you're calling back into a live show, we are reconnecting you now. Your show will go live in 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. Blog Talk Radio.
Here tonight, and I hope you're all doing good. We're going to be praying for everybody tonight, Wednesday night, and tonight we pray for everybody. So, we want to be taking callers to talk, only to prophesy. That's it. That's what it is. All right. So, we want to let you know about that to make sure you understood, and good to be with you tonight. Glad that we can do this with you and for you on your behalf to raise up the army of God to understand the gifts of the Spirit, and the Lord Jesus speaking through his servants can do it any way God chooses, right?
Yeah, so really, really interesting and cool how that works. So let's get ready for that. And all right, hang on a second, I'll be right there. And let me go forward. All right, welcome everybody. Wow, what a great night to be alive and seeking the Lord and finding out what's going on around the world, around our next door neighbors, or wherever we're finding out what's going on, whatever it's going on. We want to be there to, be a part of it and find out what God's doing. And what he's not doing. Sometimes you need to find out what God's not doing. Right? I don't know if you know about that part, but it's really, really important to find out what is not going on. And so if you're interested in what God is saying, what God's doing, you want to find out what he's doing and what he's not doing. You really do. So, really cool. All right. Let's go here and do this thing. I'm going to get there in a second. Give me just a moment to kind of get going here. Here we are. There we go. Okay, got it. All right, let's look at some things here and see what we're getting tonight. Actually, you want to make sure that we're not only what God is doing, but what God isn't doing. And if God isn't doing something, don't you know we ought not be doing it? Right? We ought not be doing it. And that's something that some people don't learn a lesson about. I think we've all learned a lesson about that a little bit. Maybe we didn't know what was going on. But that we don't deal with things anytime we get ready to deal with it, anytime we want to deal with it. We just decide we're going to deal with this some kind of spiritual entity or spiritual thing that's going on in the heavens or even in the earth. Amen? Because God, how many know that the kingdom of God is coming in the earth, and there must be order in the earth. And so that kingdom come, that will be done in the earth. And we'll talk about that a little bit tonight. Because we've been talking about authority and how to know when God has told you to do something, when he told you not to do something, right? And how subject we must be to
beings, why heavenly beloveds, we have earthly powers that are here in the earth tonight that are the father is the devil himself, or the principalities and powers in heavenly places. And so we got to be careful, you know, that we're not just doing what we think is right, because, you know, best God, we decide we can, we think we can, and wait on, and be like Jesus, you know what I mean? We talked about this last night just a little bit, and I want to really get into this, because I feel like we're going to really deal with this, especially in the latter days, anytime, but especially in the latter days. And so we want to deal with things by the Spirit of the Lord, do the best we can to share things. So you don't get yourself in trouble, you won't find yourself kicking against things that God doesn't want you to kick against. Instead of kick against things, kick against the things that God leading to do, because if you try to do things without his authority, even here on the earth, because a lot of these things on the earth are connected to the devil, right? And, you know, in the second heaven. And the first heaven, the first earth, the first heaven. Where we are, right? Here on the earth, what are you going to call this area? This place. In the earth, the Bible says, "My kingdom come, and I will be done in earth as heaven." So, when we're doing things from God, and we're literally doing things what God has told us to do, we're doing things God called us to do, then what we're doing on the earth is connected to heaven. In other words, connected to God. We have God's authority, God's delegate, God's power to deal with it and do it. And people try to mess with that when they're doing it. You know, making themselves in trouble. So having issues and problems. You hear about this stuff all the time where, you know, it's been a big thing to buy Christ. You mess with me, God's going to mess with you. And it's just, that's true. The thing is, if you try to stop what God's doing, I mean, in your, you know, we know the two witnesses, we talk about outside of it, how that anybody tries to interfere with what they're doing, what comes out of them? Fire. And they are devoured because God had a purpose for 3.5 years. And that 3.5 years period, they cannot be stopped. So if you try to stop them because they're connected to God, right, they're doing the desires of God, then fire comes out of their mouth and destroys God. I can't wait to see. I don't know that I really want to see that, but, you know, somebody wants to say we're going to see it with our eyes. And behold, with our own eyes, so we're not going to see things happen that are going to be somewhat, you know, scary, but awesome. And just make sure you're as soon as the Lord. We do all this teaching on how to do His will, not my will, but Thy will be done, right? And then we get out here and just thinking we can handle some kind of something, some thing, some large company, some. Major corporations that are here and that have been taken over by the devil and by the principalities. They've been taken over by the principalities' power. So when you mess with them, you're messing with the principalities' power. When you mess with God's servants, like we just talked with a few witnesses, this is one example, then, you know, what happened? God gave authority for the two witnesses, the fire come out of their mouth, to destroy anybody who tries to stop the word of God, not just stop them from being, you know, having a great revival. It's because they have authority from God. So any time a company, a big corporation, or something in the earth is, any time they are birthed or are taken over by, you know, principalities and powers, and
in the earth, and they are owned, or if you will, are controlled by those crystallized powers, when you start messing with them, well, then if you're not messing with them with God's power, you will be messed with. They will mess with you. You better have God's protection. You better be doing something because God's telling you to. So it's something I think we don't really understand much, but I think we're going to try to learn about it and discuss that and ask the Lord to show us,
you know, how do we deal with that? How do we deal with that? So we're going to talk about a little bit tonight, some scriptures we've talked about before. I'm going to go to 1 Kings chapter 22.
but this came to chapter 22. And I'm going to kind of just read a little bit earlier. This is about Micaiah. Remember Micaiah warned Ahab? Remember when we compared based on the work, this is kind of the kind of data that we're going to have to do it, based on the work to Micah's on the way, and
you
business they were doing was connected to.
Huge kingdom.
On the road.
They sat on the throne, did all the things. They were getting to the throne room, right?
Samaria. And so, and he came to the king, and the king said to him, of Israel.
Thank you.
He's sitting there telling Ahab, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all your prophets. He came out and told him. He didn't hide it. And the Lord has declared disaster against you. Now, Zedekiah, the son of went near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way did the Spirit of the Lord go from you? Speak. They said, he's mocking it. And Micaiah said, instead, you shall see on that day when you go into an inner chamber to hide.
Micaiah's telling him that.
More do we think we can just do whatever we want? We have to look. The reason Jesus looked to the Father, y'all, because the Father could see, he knew the overall plan. Jesus didn't know all the overall plan because he said, even I don't even know when I'm going to come back. You know, the angels don't know and I don't know.
you know, God hadn't told him. The Father hadn't told me yet. Right? He might know now. I don't know if he knows now. He probably, I really don't know. But all that's what he said while he was in the earth. He said, I don't even know what I'm going to do. Because the Father didn't do it for him. Because Jesus was so subject to the Father and doing what the Father said that, you know, he didn't do anything. He didn't come against Satan. He didn't do anything. But when he went into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, he went because he was driven by the Holy Spirit, right? Driven by the Holy Spirit to go there. In other words, who authored him to go and do that battle? God did. He did nothing. I mean, he didn't cast out a flea or deal with a flea without the Father's permission. Nothing. What makes you think you can, friend? Now, you know, we're going to learn more about this. We're going to find out the things that we have authority over as far as, you know, at a basic everyday level and all that. We're going to get into all that, so get ready for that. It's not that we have to learn there's different levels of authority, right? Yeah. So, it's going to be fun to learn. It's going to be exciting. So please be patient as we go into this thing, we dive into this thing, because this is going to be, the reason we're talking about this, the reason God is downloading this information, putting it together, is because we're getting ready to deal with this stuff in a major way. And if you're not prepared and ready, and you're out there doing, well, you know, bless God in the name of Jesus, I can do whatever, you know, I got to vote everything I want. Right. Yeah. Read your Bible, please, and read it correctly. Right? That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to learn to read it correctly. And so we're learning to do that. And sometimes God removes the defense. They couldn't even go into, you know, they were in the earth, right, in the natural realm. And Israel couldn't even go in and take Canaan until God says go. And then God finally, after four generations, removed the defenses from the Canaanites. And then God says to Joshua, now go. He couldn't go with the rebellious bunch. They were so rebellious, they would have got there, and the reason God had to stop the whole thing was because, you know, they were so rebellious, constantly rebelling, all the time rebelling. God's people rebelling against God. Think it didn't happen? It does. And you know what happened to them? A lot? Plagues. Yeah, a lot of plagues hit Israel. Plagues and wrath. The wrath of God, which they missed in Egypt because they obeyed God, put the blood a little across, but when they got into the process of going in, all the way to the promised land, and they were in the wilderness, they, when they fought against the Lord, this is all in Numbers 14, Numbers 15, they found themselves with God pouring his wrath out. That's what it says. Even David talks about how God poured his wrath out. He used the word wrath. Well, Randy, there's different kinds of wrath. Well, wrath is wrath, friend. Different levels. It's God taking down his own people who rebel against him. That's you and me. It's whoever it is. Doesn't matter. So, but we're not appointed to wrath. That scripture right there has nothing to do with what we're talking about. It has everything to do with the wrath of God is on the lost and the dying that are on their way to hell. The wrath of God is on them. Because when they die without Jesus, the wrath of God is on them. In other words, they go right straight to hell. That's what it means, the wrath.
We're not appointed to wrath.
Because if you're born again, you're not appointed to wrath. Eternal wrath. Going to hell wrath. You're not appointed to that. That's why the scriptures I talk about and try to help people understand, we're not appointed to that wrath once you're born again. Even if you messed up, even if you rebel. That eternal wrath, now you may get some temporary wrath, some temporary plague, some temporary things going on if you're in rebellion against the Lord, right? But your eternal wrath, you're not appointed. That's what that scripture says in Thessalonians. It says we're not appointed to that wrath.
Yeah, John Paul Jackson
had a book about it. Yeah, thank you, Cynthia. I know he did. And so I've never read it before, but I would like to. I wouldn't mind getting it. Somebody can send it to me or something, but yeah, so we're going to talk about it from the perspective that God's given me and learn from it from John Paul Jackson. Other people have great teachings on this. I'm teaching it in a very practical way, a really easy way to understand scriptures that we've talked about before, things that we relate to, so it'll be easy to kind of grasp in our heads. And easy for me to talk about, by the way, too. That's easy for me. And so it's very interesting. And so we're going to learn. Because, oh, when in Europe and around, we can do anything we want to. But we're going to find out that and I'm going to take you to the scripture and find out, just like we did tonight, that even when you're fighting in the earthly realm, if you're fighting companies or people or nations that are under the realm, that are sold out, all the leadership, the nation has been sold out to the devil, you're not just fighting those people in the earthly realm, friend. You may be, oh, we're just fighting in the earthly realm. That's all we're doing. No, you're not. If they're connected to the heavenly, host of hell, the principalities and powers, you're fighting principalities and powers. And we're gonna prove all that to you. I'm gonna go through and we're gonna talk about all that, and we're gonna make it real simple. And I'm not coming against Marcus and Joni. I'm not that. That has nothing to do with Randy Sanner doing anything. Right? I'm telling you. I'm saying, thus saith the Lord. And so you're seeing those things come to pass, and they're going to keep coming to pass unless the people quit rebelling against the Lord. It's the rebellion against the Lord. It's not because they're bad people, you know. Good people, you know, who have, you know, they've talked themselves into things they can do, and they do it with their nose in the air, and they're going to trip and fall, and it's going to be bad. But it doesn't mean they're going to go to hell. It's not about going to hell. It's about hell being loose on you on earth. And the Bible... Listen, let me tell you something. You know, that scripture, let me look at that scripture one more time that I'm talking about here.
We are not a part of the wrath. The wrath. I was looking at this scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5. The word of God. The Bible is really good. That's good. I like it. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but receive salvation from the Lord Jesus Christ. But since we, in the verse before that, let's look at that. Let's look at that just for a second so you can kind of understand why I'm even bringing this up. Okay, that way you can see it. All right, so, in other words, you're not of hell. You're not of the devil.
But this day should overtake you that are weak.
Right.
Talking about only believers who are not
in darkness, but we are all sons of light, sons of the day. We are not of the darkness. In other words, we're children of heaven, not children of hell. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, verse 6, but let us watch and be sober, for those who sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and a helmet of salvation, and a helmet of salvation, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ.
So you are on point to
person that lives in that is born of the that is that is born again.
Right.
But the reason I can say that that would clarify is because we see
how you know, in Numbers where they rebelled against the Lord, it said the wrath of God came on them. And this was Israel. This was God's chosen people. And it says wrath came on them. Right? They escaped wrath in Egypt. Right? That was wrath. When they got out of the wilderness and they rebelled against the Lord deliberately and willfully over and over again, it says there's wrath came upon them. So if we're not avoiding the wrath, then why did wrath come on? Because that's not eternal wrath. Right? That's the wrath that God gets hot and heated and says, I got to get you out of the way so I can get my job done. You know, a lot of Christians die early because they're in rebellion against the Lord, and God gets them, removes them. You know, that's sad, but if he does, he removes them. Yep.
Fear, Satan, who can kill your body, but to fear God, who can kill your body, it can't be done. That's the wrath it's talking about. Because you see too many scriptures that oppose that thinking that they try to quote and say that's what that means. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with eternal wrath upon people who were not born again.
Okay, I'm trying to be clear with an early teacher. I don't know how to remember later. We're about to get into that set and talk about it. So thank you for being patient with us as we go through that set. Hope you understand 1 Kings 22 a little bit there and get a hold of that, because it's very important that we get a hold of it. Very, very important that we get a hold of it, okay?
Give me a second.
I'll be right back, Ron. Keep on that phone.
What they call us, and I think we put us for missing out is learning to talk to people, prophesy to everybody that calls in, to anywhere from, you know, 20 to 40 people on Thursday, on Wednesday nights, and so thanks for being a part of that, and we are going to start doing it right now. Okay. All right, you'll pray for me. Sometimes there's a lot of things going during the show, and so I need help, I need prayer. I do everything I do and keep up with everything, right? All right, so let's take my first.
tonight at 6:06 in the Popular Trumpet.
Hi, I'm Cynthia from Mississippi.
To learn it or need to learn it for various reasons. And how much you or me or us learning how, because he was such a merited person. He was under law. He was a lawyer. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, very dedicated to God. Probably kept the law better than anybody. He was really dedicated. He wasn't some hypocrite. And so, you know, he was so used to everything being done by merit and earning his salvation, if you're earning it by, you know, doing things right and knowing the law and trying to obey the law the best he could. So when Jesus knocked him off his horse and got saved, then he had to learn how to not do that anymore, right? Live off merit, which we all, we're raised all our life to live by merit, by, well, you do this, I'll do that for you. Well, in salvation, that doesn't work. Now, in, you know, in our everyday life, the business side of God, that does work. You do this for me, I'll do that for you. Because he says, do it for me. Don't just go out there and do your own thing. Right? But when you do things for me, then I will do things for you. You know, and that was, you know, the talents where you took the talent and multiplied it. He said, now I'm going to give you 10 cities or whatever. Or, yeah. And so and the guy who didn't do anything with this, if he didn't fear, it got taken away from him, right? So that's kind of the business side of God. And that's what we've got to learn in the body of Christ, that the business side of God is completely different from the tender, loving shepherd who forgives us, loves us, and is teaching us to grow and learn and, you know, all that. So, a merited favor means our salvation and trying to keep our salvation, you know, by, you know, performing right. If we, once you're born again, that's why that teaching is so bad, because it teaches people to perform, and you do this for me, I'll do this for you in my salvation, right? And that, God doesn't do that. Salvation is free. You don't buy it. I don't buy it. And Paul had to learn how to, you know, live in the realm of grace on purpose. He was given a thorn in the flesh because it's so much, he had so much knowledge. He was such a knowledgeable, a genius type person. So thank you, Lord, for showing, you know, us, showing my sister and I, God, Cynthia, how to.
You by your grace, there's some things that we just can't figure out. We can't seem to get healed. We can't seem to make it happen. And we just say, God, you know, by your grace, you're going to have to show me. By your grace, you're going to have to do it.
And, you know, you're going to have to help me, you know, overcome the things that I've kind of overcome. You know, the daily things that we go through, you know, to keep our life, not so we can go to heaven, because once you're born again, you're going to heaven. But it's how to keep your life so that you can enter into the promises of God. And so keeping your life is done by grace, right? And when you walk by grace, unmerited favor, then you start walking in obedience. And God starts showing you what to do, and you're not doing things on your own. Paul was so used to just doing the right thing, God had to teach him how to. You just can't do the right thing anymore, Paul. You have to do what I tell you, like Jesus. Only do what the Father said to do. That's, and Paul was so used to just obeying the law, right? And now he had to learn how to look to Jesus. Right? And so anyway, it's a thing that I think we're all really learning. And the Galatians obviously didn't learn very well because they said, you know, they had, you know, started trying to obey the law again. And it's easy to slip off into that. So God has to keep us. To show us that it's by my grace, my unmerited favor, that I, you know, I'm going to bring you through it. Not by how hard you work, or how all that, just by my unmerited favor. So God's teaching you how to walk in His grace, and then you walk in that, then you find yourself walking in obedience to what God is saying, which is unmerited favor in the sense. He says it to you, and then He empowers you to obey. But it's all Him doing it in you and through you. But, yeah, you come to agreement with it. And He is testing it and showing it does. But you come into agreement, and He does it. But now you're doing it, and Good
evening, Brother Randy. This is Daryl Paul from Maryland and Nicole from D.C. Texas.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Randy. It's Charles and Nikki. And could you pray for Destiny, please? Hey, Randy. There was a shooting, and a guy got killed at her restaurant 2 days ago, and he was on national TV and everything, and it scared the daylights out of her. So could we just lift her up and our sheriff came in. There was detectives everywhere, and the young guy, he was 21 years of age. He was running from the law. He was a drug addict, and you know, he had money on him and drugs and all that and guns. And they did a pivot move on him. He lost control of his vehicle, jumped out of it, run into the parking lot of where Destiny worked at, hijacked a vehicle from an elderly lady. The captain of the sheriff's department, police department, shot him 6 times point-blank range through the windshield because he was trying to run him over. And the guy still was living, and he lost control, ran into a side of a building, and the vehicle went halfway inside of it, and he died. But it was very traumatizing to a lot of people. The customers inside the restaurant were throwing up and everything. And then our sheriff of Polk County came back in and, just told Destiny how brave she was and all. And they did our local news, broadcasters came in and interviewed her because she was the manager on shift that day. And so anyway, she's still kind of shook up by it and all, but please just pray for, yeah.
Wow, what an amazing thing. You know, the whole time you were talking about that, I have to be honest with you, what I was thinking was that, you know, sometimes when you're right in the middle of things, when God has called you to be right in the middle of things, you're right in the middle of things. And so just like in my own personal life, you know, I can say that, you know, prophetically, you know, God puts you right in the middle of things. I remember they had when repairs came for Florida, from Yellow Space down there, came up here to Texas, and, you know, right down the street from me, you know, I mean, at the time, if we had a great case at McDonald's, down the street from the place that they did the shooting that night, that it happened, right? Right down the street from it. And that was a church that actually got killed. That's one of many things. It's where we can establish a right in the middle of things. And so you were talking to Matt about her right now. You know, I say that's what I was saying. Say you're right, I mean, right in the middle of things. And thank you, Lord, for giving her courage, giving her strength. God,
enjoy that, you know, be a part of it, and carry it, all that kind of stuff for sure, but we're right in the middle of it.
shadow and the devil being faced with it. Turns the other way, Peter's born again, and definitely in rebellion against the Lord, and meaning what the hell, but it sounds like he was born again, and he got sick to heaven. So, really, the Lord is one of those other things, but it doesn't sound like he was saying, so. But, we thank the Lord that we're going to see that stuff. We're going to watch the destruction of New England. The pestilence is going to be all around us, but it's not going to be our dwelling. And God wants us to see, I think that's a sign of that. That's a sign of that.
Hey Randy, it's Pam from Tanisha from Texas.
Time, it puts a lot more pressure on because you realize what you're doing is going to be seen or known,
and so we're not like
basically the light that shines on, look what God did. Look what God, that's what the light's for. Look what God's doing, and look what God did and does. And that does. So I thank you, Lord, for all the training, all the things we go through. We're knowing that when you're sometimes people think, oh, I want to be chosen of God. I want to be chosen of God. Well, of course we do. You know, they don't want to be chosen of their father to be whatever. You know, and we all do, and we should want that. And so, but when it happens, sometimes we go like, maybe I can change my mind now. No, too late. But when the training's over, when all this stuff's going on and the light's shining on us, they're going to go, wow, if I'd only known. That's what they said about Joseph. Joseph's brother said, man, if I'd only known, we would have never done that. Well, then he wouldn't have been in big boy over the thing that saved them all, right?
Yeah,
when he was raised up by Pharaoh and by God, he would have never done. So they had to come against him, had to fight him, just like with Jesus. They crucified him, and then he became Lord. Right? But he had to be crucified in order to become Lord. And so Joseph had to be, you know, sent to Egypt to suffer and grow and learn, right? And so when he was put in the spotlight, because he was honest and truthful and did things before God at all times, then when it came time to Egypt, you know, he trusted him with everything, like all the other guys did, because he did, God was with him, being proper, being honest and truthful. And he was the kind of guy that, you know, you could give your stuff to him and get word about him doing something with it other than what you wanted and what was best. And he was, so there you go. Training, blessing, preparation. All right, 769-220, who am I talking to your company? Because that's what keeps us in agreement to where we're supported. Thank you. All right, I am back.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Hi, this is Deborah from Ohio.
Mainly that you learn that by watching him and watching him build things, watching him do things, and messages, what is
with you. You're the only one doing it. You know, God's hands are called it to happen because it's his message, it's his word, and the message that he gives takes you in the direction that God's blessing it and doing it, and it's his will, his purpose. But messages are extremely important. Right? The message of the Bible, like the messages that come from Jesus, from the Holy Spirit. The message comes from false teachers, like people who really think they're doing right, but have a religious spirit and really believe that they're right. They're very sincere, they seem very pure, they seem very innocent, but their message is wrong. Doesn't matter. If it's wrong, it's wrong. It leads to death. The message of God is human life and it's human life. Alright? The message. Oh, there you go. That's a lot. 2.2805, I'm going to talk to the front page.
Hello, Randy. This is Jerson Blossom from Minnesota.
disconnected to the past name. All right, 308. Are you there? My internet went. Anyway, so thank you, there we go. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord for recovering all, God. I thank you for the recovery in all. The whole message about recovering all, David, you know, when they came in and he's been out, you know, doing God's work and before he was king, he still had his guys, 500 or 400, whatever they were. And they came and raided his camp when he was out with his family and all that thing. And he came back and he was a priest and they were gonna stone him, you know, and doing the work with you and look what happened. Everything fell apart and then you know, they got us and they were gonna stone him, right? So he goes to the priest and the priest says, you know, that he says God says go. So he goes and he recovers it all. That's what I hear the word about, recovering it all. And I don't know what that means exactly. I don't know if there's recovery. I know you went through yourself with, you know, the various thing and all that. I don't know what it has to do with, but recovering it all sometimes is recovering everything, even things that we don't even know about. It's not like physical, literal things that we know about, but things that belong to us from God. Authority, mental things, you know, even financial, all the whole thing. The inheritance of God that belongs to us. God's inheritance, as you know, thank God for our national inheritance, you know, it's a God thing. But when the inheritance we have from God, you know, God's going to restore all that. And so that may have to do with some of that stuff, you know, financial things, some, you know, things, you know, when you lost your sister, just different things. Things that could have been, things that would have been, but, you know, God is a restorer. And he goes, the recovery of all, recover it all. I thank you, Lord, that whatever's been lost, whatever's been done, you're going to recover it all. Show me what you mean by that. That it's not just things that we know about. Sometimes there's things that we don't know about that have been hidden from us. It's been from ages of generations gone by. From, you know, things that God has spoken over, kinfolk, and whatever it would be. Right? So, recovering it all could be something like that. So I thank you for that being done, and that she will understand that. You give her wisdom to know that there's things that she doesn't even, not even aware of, that belong to her, that are hers. God, you just going to open up doors and show that stuff. But Jesus, tell me something to do with the end times. I don't even know exactly, but also recover it all. All of you, everything that belongs to anything in your bloodline, to your husband's bloodline, the whole thing, recover it all. God says he wants you to start praying, God. Maybe you ought to start really praying, maybe, you know, that extra prayer or something. Whatever recover it all means, I don't know. But like with Joseph, recovering it all to him meant going back to his father after he'd been thrown out, cast out, going back to him, recovering it all, would have been going back to Canaan. And then he realized that recovering it all had to do with ruling Egypt, which was great, big, a certain
Let them do what God's called them to do, and then we're
thanks him. And Jesus, thanks. Well, thank you, Lord, for showing him all the ingredients of a healthy relationship, healthy friendship, God, in Jesus' name.
Well, thank you.
To walk in that place where the two wills, the two altars can come together and worship God together.
Amen.
Didn't say desperate.
That's the
are poor. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. And the poor in spirit means, you're poor, you can't do anything. You can't buy anything, you can't get the last thing. So what do? You got to trust God, right? You trust God. And so when we start looking at things that other people have done and do, and how messed up it is, when it goes, God, save me from that. Be my provision, God. I can make the same mistakes that they're making. So show me how not to do it. Show me how to forgive, how to love, how to help, how to do it. And when you do that, then you're going to find yourself in the grace of God, in the help of God, in the hand of God. And He's going to guide you and lead you, because you're not arrogant and pompous saying, if I was your father, now you go, oh, dear Jesus, I know I said I'd never do things, but I did do it. God, show me not to be like Peter. Peter said, I'll never deny you. And then he denied him. He said he wasn't going to deny him in his own strength. And then the pressure came, and in those things, he couldn't handle it. He failed. So we learn from those things. And Peter was a good man, a godly man. He ended up being finally used by God. But he failed and made mistakes. And so we learn from those. And we go, God, be merciful to me. Keep me, watch over me. Keep me in your ways. Keep me in your path. All right, we keep humble. When we keep humble before God, then in due season, He exalts us. In due season, we have to wait and be patient for that due season. And then like Joseph did. Joseph had a great calling, deep calling, and he was mistreated, lied about, all kinds of things, but he kept faithful to God. He didn't get bitter. He kept, God was with him, and he prospered even when he was in what seemed like something short of the will of God. So he learned to function in that thing that seemed like it was anything but the will of God. He says, God, though you slay me, I'm going to praise you, like Job said. God, teach me how to walk humble before Him, angel, and, learn how to stay there. Once you get there, if you stay there, right, that's the hard part, stay there. And learn how to do that, and God's going to guide you and lead you in the journey. You need the right people, you need the right sources, the information that you need. And He becomes your source, your provision. Amen.
All right.
Okay. All right, I think that's it for tonight. No one else has their hand up. 901, you don't have your hand up. If you don't have your hand up, I'm not going to collect it. You might be calling me privacy. I don't want to mess with you if you don't get it. Also, visionary prayer, you don't have your hand up. 903-253, you don't have your hand up. 608, you don't have your hand up. 101, you don't have your hand up. You guys may know you don't have your hand up, but that's okay. But if you don't raise your hand, I'm going to call tonight. Okay, 101 over there. All right, 101, who are talking to you? Where are you from, please?
I thought I had my hand up. Oh, my God.
Oh, my hand up. Oh, yeah, you got it. Yeah, I see that hand. Jesus was led to the slaughter, as it were, led to the land. He wasn't really is a lamb led to the slaughter, but he looked like he was as a lamb led to the slaughter, but he was really the conquering king. So sometimes we look like the weak lamb on our way to slaughter, but really what we are, because we know who we are. And he knew who he was. That's the thing. We have to know who we are, because when Jesus, because Jesus knew he was born to do what he was going to do, and he knew, you know, he was going to, for his time, appear weak, appear like, you know, hey, they got me, they took me down. But in all truth, he knew that that was part of the purpose. Like when Joseph was taken down, you know, Joseph didn't know it was part of the purpose, but Jesus did. And when he was taken down, he knew that everybody was going to say, oh, look, they got him. They got, but the whole time, he knew that he was giving his life. He knew that it was a willing thing he was doing. I thank the Lord for Cheryl God, that she knows that she's willing. She's not, you're not making her. She's not forcing it. She is. She's willing to do whatever you want, God. And when we do that, we follow. You know, it's like Joseph. Joseph said, yeah, I want to be that. Oh, my brother's going to bow down to me. I'm going to be great for you. Yeah, I'll take that. And then you realize the struggle you have to go through, the battle you have to go through to get there. And Jesus the same way. Right? And so even though he seemed like he was never going to make it, never going to happen, then one day, Joseph, you know, after Jesus, it was 3 days later, but Joseph could decide, you know, and like in one day, after all the stuff, Baker and the butler, you know, he had broken his ring, and then a year later, so, remember me, saying, and something happened. A dream was given to Pharaoh, and it's only something that Joseph could do. Only the only person in the world that could help Pharaoh just happened to interpret the dream of one of the guys that worked under him and was in prison. And how God works things out is amazing. We look like we're in failure, and all of a sudden one day, you know, we're ruling and reigning in that area. But,
hello, this is Greg from Pennsylvania. Thank you.
Janice from Georgia. Hi, Prophet Randy, Angela Joy.
I'm Daniel, okay. I haven't talked to you tonight, brother.
Oh, no,
Daniel, all the different ways you provide, that you bring health, you bring healing, bring blessing.